From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Father, tonight we thank you for bringing us together again. Thank you for your kindness, your mercy towards us. Forgive us of our trespasses, O God. Speak to us. Bless our time together. Lord, be gracious unto us. Let us not leave your presence the same as we came. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Wow. Excited to be here tonight. Okay. He that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. That's what we're looking at. It's a book in the Macarius. He that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. It's one of the books in the Macarius. Now, Jesus is the one who made this statement, like we've been doing Tuesday evenings. Jesus is the one who made this statement, and Jesus is saying that, in summary, he's saying that the rich will get richer, the poor will get poorer. Because anybody who has, it is that person who gets more. And the person who doesn't have, that person doesn't get anything. You see, I think I have some bankers who have just walked in. The bank calls you when you are more credit, you are credit legible or liable or credit, whatever. If the bank knows that you have things that they can give you money, they give you money. Sometimes I'm there, they'll call me, the Red Bank. They'll call me and say, you are pre-qualified for a loan. Has the bank called you before that you are pre-qualified for a loan? Andre, as you're looking for money to go to Bible school, I'm sure you'll be glad if the bank will call you and you run away with the money. Yeah, it's a Ghana. See you back in 3 years. When I come, we can talk. How many people get a phone call from the bank, Republic Bank, Scotia Bank, that you have been pre-qualified for a loan? It's just the people who already have money and have some properties and have some assets. It is those people, they want to collect their money, so they want to push more money into their hands. But people who don't have anything, didn't go to school well, is not doing a good job, you will never be pre-qualified or post-qualified or neo-qualified or whatever qualified for any loan. And that is what Jesus said. Jesus said it clearly in the scriptures that he that hath, that person will continue to receive more. And the person who doesn't have, even the little, that's why poor people get poorer. And that's why rich people get richer. So when people get annoyed with people who are progressing or prospering, you got to be annoyed with yourself. Because the people who are getting rich, there's a reason why they are getting rich. We are learning that those people definitely have some traits, definitely have some qualities, definitely have some positive attitudes that are helping them to do well and to do well. Whereas those who are poor, they also have some negative traits that are making them get poor and poor every day. Never be envious or jealous of anybody who is doing well. If you see your neighbor buy a new car, your neighbor is doing renovation, don't go and say things that are foolish. You have to go and say, neighbor, please teach me how you do that. But many of us are proud and poor, don't have anything, don't know nothing, and we will never ask a question as to how do I get here. But we'll make negative comments. Yeah? The bank has called me several times. I said, I don't want any money. Yeah. Some small thing I needed from you, and you calling me every day for something. If I want, I can get more. In fact, there are some pastors who will use their church. They use their church to go for money from the bank. Did you know that? I, as the whatever you, I mean, of course, officially, I'm the bishop of the church of 17 churches. I can take the number of people. We are about 450 people. There is not few people run organizations with 450 workers. Oh, 450, whatever. International. That alone, the buildings we have, this property is worth, I'm sure it's worth about 50 million, I'm sure. That alone, I can take you to one of these banks. The purple bank. Is there a purple bank? A black bank. And tell them, you know, I is a CEO. I want to build a hotel. Shepherd House Hotel International. I need so millions. Oh, cry. I'm the bishop. I'll get it, cry. They'll be very, very happy. So, it has been some positive traits that we have had that has brought us thus far. I said it has been some positive traits that we have that has brought us thus far. And people who are not like some of us or those who are even ahead of us, it is because the traits are not positive enough and are not helpful enough. So we go to Peter. You know Peter. And Peter says it. So unfortunately, the Bible has been taken away from you. He says that. And beside this, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. He says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. Can you see your Bible? This church, you are supposed to be half screens, though. These black and white pages, we go. You are not light at Shepherd House. But if you need more light, maybe. Should we turn on the light? We should, okay. Go finger. Now you can get up. Where's the light? Oh, okay. The PRP, some people control the lights. Okay, so at least I can see everybody's face now. Ah, you are here. Okay. Is that right? So at least you can see your Bible now as we read. So, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For the Bible says that, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. So the secret to not being barren or unfruitful is adding these virtues or positive traits into your life. Are you following? It will make you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we first looked at diligence, isn't it? We're saying that if you are diligent, you would definitely be a ruler. People who are diligent are always on top, because laziness doesn't take you anywhere. If you're going to do anything, you have to really do your best. Diligence is the key to becoming prosperous, or is the key to becoming wealthy. Then we move on to faith, isn't it? I think we are on faith. Oh, we've done, how many have we done? One or two? You've done two. Faith, defined, is a firm belief in something for which there is no proof. It is also a belief in God. So that is a fundamental fact we're dealing with, that to be able to become prosperous or to be able to succeed, you need to have a firm belief in something that doesn't exist. This is where sometimes those who have been to school, sometimes this becomes a problem. Because when you go to school, you are taught to explain everything. I hear those who go to University of Guyana, the lectures sometimes change into religion. And they talk all kinds of things about pastors and churches and all kinds of things they talk about. But you see, the positive trait that can help you become he that hath, that can make you successful, is faith. When it comes to God, you need to have a firm proof of something that doesn't exist. If you can't do that, you are not likely to do well. Because the Bible says that anybody who even comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, to even become a Christian and remain a Christian, you have to understand that there is a God, there's a being, supernatural being, who is out there looking at you and watching you. And that everything you are doing, if you do it well, if you do it hard, he rewards you. You see, we are used to Bassman and Bassman and Bassman. We are used to, when the Bassman is not there, we're tipping Bassman time. We're used to not being able to be on our own and be diligent and be resourceful and understand that my time here must be spent well. We like people to boss over us because we are not able to manage ourselves. When we come into Christ, when we come into God, we also want to do the same thing. You want to see the pastor or see a Christian brother before you fix yourself. But you have to understand that there is this supernatural God who looks at us. The Bible says in Hebrews, I think chapter 12 verse 1, that since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, isn't it? Let us lay aside every weight. Since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, those who have died, the Christians who have died and moved on, they are watching us. The Bible calls them the great cloud of witnesses. So the places they failed in, or the things they failed at, they are hoping and believing and praying that you will not go there. They are witnesses. They are looking at us. They are watching on. One day, we will join the cloud of witnesses. So Christianity is having this firm belief of the existence of God, and that God and his existence and everything we do concerning him, he's aware of it, and if there's a reward, he will reward us. I see sometimes it's not very, some people can't handle it because we only see ourselves, we only see what we are doing now, we only see the now. We don't see tomorrow, we see the now, and sometimes we get discouraged because God is not coming to tell you, why are you not doing this? Why are you not going to church? Why are you not paying tithe? Why are you not giving offerings? God does not do that to us most of the time. So we go through all these motions and we tend to run away or get away with it. But no. He is a rewarder. I said, God is a rewarder. And he rewards those who diligently seek him. That's why you see the differences in churches, in pastors, and in Christians. The secret is that God is rewarding those who are positively doing what he wants them to do. That's it. If you see any difference in the church, it is because of rewarding. It's because of rewards. You can look at it and say something or make a comment, but it has nothing to do with anything. It has everything to do with God. I saw a scripture this morning. Let me show you the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Are you following so far? Verse 5, I believe. Paul, in chapter 3, when he started from the verse 1, he was talking to the church in Corinth, his second letter, telling them that, Paul, he was very fantastical. He was telling them that he doesn't need no recommendation letters. All of us, we need recommendation letters, isn't it? The point when you come, you don't need a recommendation letter, you should consider yourself a very blessed power. Because it's true, there are some places when you go, when they know you, you don't have to even show your ID card. Like that. I went somewhere yesterday with my children. And God being so good, I knew somebody there. There were a few people waiting to be helped. So the person who knew me came out of the office, saw me and said, I'm coming just now. Went to do whatever she was doing. She came back and collected everything that I was there to do. Priest said, I'll give you this. On the spot, I got something that people, it take a while before you can get. When you don't need recommendation, it's a very higher place to be. It's like a good name. So Paul said that he doesn't, you know, he does not need recommendations from the people. It's like Shepherd House here. I don't need recommendations. You know who I am. I don't have to come. So, Sister Anita, please, my name is Bishop Victor Collins Asabri Jr. I am from here now. I am the bishop of this church. Could you please get me some water to drink? No. Anita, I want some water. That's all. But somebody else will have to explain why Anita has to get them water. That's what I'm talking about, recommendations. So Paul was telling the church that, as for you, the Corinth church, I don't need any recommendations where you are concerned, because he says, my recommendation is you. If you want to see what I have done, then it is you. You are my letter. If anybody has to give me a recommendation, they have to come here. They have to see our pictures on Facebook. They have to see what we have done. That is what must tell people who we are. We're applying to, you know, do some a little structure here for the children. It's because we vexed, that's why we have not done it. We went to city council to apply. We submitted every document. Then the person who I sent to go and submit the document comes back after how many months to tell me that they say they need an affidavit from me that I am the pastor of the church. I said, we have given you everything. This is not the first time we are applying to do any work in this building here. So why should I send you a letter that JP, that I am the pastor of the church? We have our church registration documents that tells you that I am one of the board members. They said, no, I should go to JP, or otherwise I should come myself. I said, they should sit down there. These people are refusing to acknowledge that we don't need recommendations. If I write a letter applying to do a small building out there for the children, why should I go to JP and come and tell you that I am the pastor of the church? So even if a church member writes a letter, don't you think that it's a very important thing we want to do for the children in our church? Somebody is there who's trying to dip on stupidness. Most of the things we've done here in the building, we do it without anybody giving us whatever they think they give us. Because sometimes these people, they dip on their own eyes. So we also dip on our own eyes too. You dip on your own eyes, we too dip on our own eyes. If you like, bring people, let them come and break it down. We'll prep on your head. Hallelujah. No, you have to know your system, oh. Your system, some things don't move, so you have to move them. What do you think? Yeah, like I met a police officer who said that my car is tinted. I said, yes. So? He said, no, don't I know that I'm not allowed to tint my car? I said, who said that? He said, it's a law. I said, which law? Because I realized I met a JJC, I met a Johnny Just Come. You stop me. Tell me something better. Don't tell me about tint. If you don't know the rules for tinting a vehicle. After we had some exchanges, he said, carry on. I said, you better tell me as you carry on. You should know your do your homework before you come and stop people. Wasting people's time on the road. We live in the sun. We are allowed to tint our vehicles at a certain percentage. Thanks be to the government. They're giving us some little something there. Even though if they give us duty free, we'll be happy. Only tint they give us. So positive trait faith is what we're looking at. Where we said that faith is the personal trait that will cause you to overcome big problems and obstacles. When you have big problems and obstacles, the only thing that deals with it as a Christian is faith.
He's not crying. Like many of you do. You cry, ah, when you finish, the problem is still there. You drink, ah, after you get drunk, you get headache and what do you call this thing in the morning? You call, what? Hangover. The problem is still there. Right next to you. The key to removing obstacles is having a firm belief that the obstacle is not there. Number two, faith is the personal trait that causes an individual to have a good report. Isn't it? That's what made Abraham get a good report, because Abraham, even though he didn't have a sheep for the sacrifice that God had asked him to go and sacrifice, when his son asked him, "Daddy, where's the sheep?" Abraham told his son, "Don't worry, son. The sheep is there." Meanwhile, he knew that the boy was a sheep. But today we speak about Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. I am blessed in the morning. I'm blessed in the evening. Abraham's blessings are mine. We want Abraham's blessings. Why? Because he was somebody who obtained a good report by believing in a lamb or a sheep that wasn't there. So, if you don't believe in things that are not there, you will not reach anywhere. You will not go anywhere. And you have to believe that your ticket has been paid for. You have to believe it though. Otherwise, the ticket will scare you. It will rise up and you have dreams and nightmares. You have to have a firm belief that this ticket thing, no matter how much it is, it has been paid for and I'm out. That is the life that God has called us to live if we are going to be prosperous. Number three tonight, faith is a personal trait that makes a person victorious. See, Victor is a very nice name. You should name yourself Victor, Victoria, Victorina, Victoritius. Victory! Yeah, when you get your son, please, he's a Marilyn, call him Victor. It's a nice name. Victor. Faith is that which makes you victorious. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says that, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Are you listening? Do you believe in the scriptures? I usually believe in the scriptures. The Bible is saying that anybody who is born of God, that person is God's child. And just as God does not have limitations or problems and issues when it comes to this world, anybody who is born of God is also an overcomer. I don't know if you're hearing me tonight. It means that by definition, you should not be overcome by a problem or an issue. Yeah. By default, you are God's product. And there's nothing that is God's product that lacks anything. Like, God doesn't lack anything. If an elephant gives birth to an elephant, there's nothing that is different about them. They are the same, except that he's a small elephant. So when God gives birth to us, anyone who is born of God, he said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So you, by the time you give your life to Christ, you are already an overcomer. Except that you don't know, you don't believe it, you don't enforce it. That is why you see things mounting all the time and you are wondering, if I look left, if I look right, where is my help coming from? No, you see, there is a particular moment in your life that you have to believe what you can do. Sometimes when you say, "Oh Lord, help me," you are actually making God unhappy. Because you don't need help, you have the power. So what you have to do in that case is to use the power rather than say, "Oh Lord, help me." He has already helped you by giving birth to you. You are more powerful now. Scriptures are very nice. Oh. You just have to understand the scriptures.
He said, am I the one saying? It's the Bible who's saying that. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes. And overcometh is a continuous present tense. It is something that always happens. It's not something, it's not like you overcame or you are going to overcome. Overcome, it means that it's a constant thing. Anytime you are faced with a solution, anytime you are faced with a problem or anything, you overcome.
But you have to believe it though. Don't just clap, you should believe it. It works, cry.
I have a firm belief in my heart that whatever comes my way, I will survive it at the end of the day. It's something that it's at the back of my mind. No matter the case, no matter the challenge, no matter the issue, I believe very strongly in my heart that that thing will come and it will I will subdue it, no matter the situation. I believe that. I tell you. I believe that.
There's something when I speak, you may easily think that, oh, why he's talking like that?
It's because of how I feel and what I know and how confident I am in who has given birth to me. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. The Bible says, for those who believed him, who received him, he gave them power. Walking around Georgetown like you don't have nothing. People talk to you anyhow. Problems come your way. So you make the devil smile all the time and laugh all the time. When the devil is bored, he comes to you because he knows that you cry and then he will laugh at you. Look at it, ladies and gentlemen. There is no earthly king. There's no earthly VIP. There's no earthly whatever important person who has a child who struggles. It is people whose parents and grandparents have not gotten anything for them who struggle in life. But people who already have made a name, people who already have things, Jalana, we struggle because daddy do nothing for we. Mommy is struggling and punishing and suffering. You got to know what you got to get something for yourself. You and I, if you don't take care, you go join the suffering train too. But if you are born a gaffos, you go to school as a form of as a formality. If you are born a pretty person, if you are born a tosi or pesad, hey, it's just formality that you go to school. So that when they put you in a place, the people can cheat you. You can run the thing. You don't have no problem. The lands, we who are going to housing and fighting for lands, these people, they have, oh, if you go to Rahman Park, you see, they're building fancy houses. Recently, they built some house at the back there. The land is for people already. Anita, you and me, we're fighting for squatting land.
Squatting land people are fighting for.
You see, it's because here on earth, we don't have anybody who has gone ahead of us, who has given us anything. But God has given you and I something that is more than what earthly people have. So when you sing the song, I Know Who I Am, you should really think about what you are singing on. Do you really believe who you are, really? Because the Bible says that you are an overcomer. It means that challenges come, problems come, situations come, but you will always be on top of the problem and the situation. Oh. So when you see a Christian who is, you realize that Christian doesn't know her left from her right. Does not understand who she or who he is. And so if you see people who are confident and more stronger, don't say bad things about them. They have a key that you need to also get.
You need to say, you know what? I like the way you are very bold. I like the way you speak. I like the way you talk. I want to operate that life. Can you pray for me? I need that thing that you have. That's how you must operate.
Why the pastor talking like that? Why the pastor talking like that? I know where I stand. I know where I stand. This place that I stand, I know it was given to me. I was sure I was reading a scripture to you, isn't it? Oh, I almost forgot the scripture.
The preaching is nice, so I've almost forgot the scripture. Nice. So Paul speaks about a recommendation. He goes to verse 5. He says that, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of us as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Sufficiency means ability or what? Competency to do a thing. Our sufficiency is of God. So what we are able to do, Sharon, is because God gave us that thing to do. What I am doing here, if God did not give it to me, I will not be here. That is why I walk so proud, because I know I have a backing. I have a support. My back is covered. And that is how you must also behave, because you are born of God. You are an overcomer. As you walk on the road, you should know that your back is covered. You should know that you are protected. You should know that there's a mighty hand that is upon your life. You must be confident. He whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And then he comes to explain, and this is the victory. This is the source of the victory that overcometh the world. He said, even our faith. Because no, you have to believe who you are. My father's last name is called Asabre. It's not in the Bible. It's not like Simon Peter or something. No, it's Asabre. I don't even know what Asabre means. But I don't walk on this earth like the son of Mr. Sabre. I walk with the faith, a firm belief in that which does not exist, that I am a son of God. In fact, the Bible has even told me, so I won't even say that it doesn't exist. I believe in what God says about me and what I am. That my faith is what gives me the victory. Let us look at David in 1 Samuel chapter 17. David, a little boy in the bush, taking care of sheep. In fact, I think there were about 3 or 4 sheep. Because his brother, I think it was Eliab, when he went to the battlefield to give them roasted corn, Eliab said, "Hey, little boy, what are you doing here? You are always, you are too nosy. You like big people thing. What? Who have you left this few sheep with?" So it tells me that David was spending his precious time in the bush, in the field, taking care of just about 3 or 4 sheep. And then one day his father sent him to go and give food to his brothers who had joined the military because they were needed. Some big man, giant Goliath, from the Philistines. He was standing on the hilltop and he was saying, "Hey, Israelites, y'all galang from this place. I'll kill all of you." And the king of Israel, King Saul, who had experience in warfare, he was hiding. All the armies and the soldiers of Israel were all, it's like you have poured cold water on them. Goliath will come every morning and stand on the hill and challenge. He says, "You know, you just bring somebody, let me fight him." Nobody. Every morning he will come and stand on the hill and talk. Every morning. Hey, days, torment them, speak. The Israelites and their king were like the dogs with their tail in between their legs. Then this little boy, David, whose sufficiency or ability to do something was of God because he was anointed. The Bible says that he came to give food to his big brothers. And he saw this big guy who, if he stands in front of him, Goliath will look at him like that. "Hey, hello." You match him like that. David saw Goliath and saw what he was saying, heard what he was saying. And he said, "What's this? What's going on here? Why can't anybody stand this guy? Can I face him?" Then his big brother heard and said, "Hello, go home." This is not for little boys. So he acted as if he was going, and he went behind the wall.
And then somebody went to tell King Saul that there was a little boy who's really talking big stuff. Saul said, at this time, whether you are little or you are big,
we need some hope. We need some hope. Let him come. So they ushered David to see King Saul.
And Saul said, why are you going on? David said, I tell you, I bet you, this thing standing there, I would take him down.
Saul was wondering, what? What is this thing here?
He said, are you sure? He said, King Saul, you give me the chance. I will bring this guy down. Aha! Then Saul said, okay. But you see, you don't have anything. Okay, take my helmet, take my breastplate, take my sword, take my shield, take my belt. You take my armory and try something. David put a thing on and he couldn't move his leg. He said, please, take your breastplate, take your helmet, take your sword, take everything. Let's read what David said. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Preaching is nice. Oh. God's word is so sweet. Verse 38 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. And Saul armed David with his armor. And he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David gathered his sword upon his armor. And he assayed to go. Maybe I should give you a nicer one. Isn't it? Then Saul clothed David with his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head. And he clothed him with armor. David gathered his sword over his armor and tried to walk. For he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, I cannot go with these. For I have not tested them. And David took them off. He took his stick in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones. People say the 5 thing is Jesus, isn't it? J-E-S-U-S. It's fantastic. People see things in the Bible. Say 5 stones, which symbolizes Jesus. So he took the 5 stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Then the Philistine came on and approached David with a shield bearer in front of him. The guy's shield was so big that somebody has to hold the shield. And a pastor, I once heard a pastor explain it this way, that the Bible says in Ephesians that your shield is your faith. So don't put your faith in a man, put your faith in God. Don't let anybody carry your faith for you. Like Goliath made a mistake. His faith was in somebody's hands. Don't put your shield in somebody's hand. Hold your own shield so that if something is coming, you take it and you kill it. A pastor must be sleeping and call up with your wife or something. You got to get your own faith and wake up in the night and pray. You give your faith, your shield to the pastor. How many shields can a pastor hold in his house? 400 shields? So that's one revelation there. So then the Philistine came on and approached David with a shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. Man, we are cruelies, man. What is this disdain and all of that? Eh? You caught the eye? Nah. You is African. You don't know them things. Okay. He said, Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy faced boy. And then, am I a dog? Goliath said. He roared at David, am I a dog? That you come to me with a stick? Because he was going with a stick and a sling and 5 smooth stones. The guy has fought all his life, and when he saw this boy come with a stick, he said, it's dogs you beat with a stick. What were you coming? You think I'm a dog? That you come at me with a stick. And he cursed David by the name of his gods. And he said, come over here
and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals. Goliath yelled. David replied in verse 45 to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin. Hey! Sword, spear, and javelin. But he says, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. He said, today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. David, are you sure? Are you not afraid of this big thing standing in front of you? Who has javelin, sword, and spear? He says, today I will kill you and cut off your head. Hey, at least if you kill, fine, but head cut. I mean, Charlie, you are very ambitious. So you are hanging your hat where your hand probably can't reach. Oh. No, David was full of faith. It's faith that makes you victorious. He said, I'll cut off your head and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Hey, our sufficiency is of God. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people. He knows that the Lord rescues his people. He knows that the Lord rescues his people. Hey, somebody had to step out to declare it and to say it, that God rescues his people. And say, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. Hey, David. David. That's why David is a nice name. David is nice than is nicer than what is Calvin. Sherwin, Leron, all them names. Adam, all these, David is, because this guy sees a huge guy who has been fighting for years. It reminds me of this wrestling. These big guys. These big, what are some of the names? Big Show. Big Show, he doesn't go through the rope, so. Andre the Giant. In the days of Hulk Hogan. They come, they just hold the rope and then they just go over it. So people come and they raise and they go under. They can't go down. Because when they fall down, they can't get up. Big. There was this guy. I think was it a Mexican. He jumps around too much. Santino. Rey Mysterio. He jumps around like, he goes and he jumps on the ring and he jumps, and when he comes, Big Show will be standing there. When he jumps and you hold him like that. And he goes around. No, Goliath was bigger than that. And David, you are coming with a stick and a sling with stones. And he is big. He has somebody ahead of him with a shield. He has a javelin, a spear, and a sword. All three. It was like AK-47 in those days. Now, even if he throws one, David, your father sent you to take food to your brother's home. Please, at least go and tell your father, Daddy, if I don't come back, you know, I'm dead. Nothing. Now you are saying that you will kill him, you will kill the people he is with, and you give their bodies to the animals. And you say, because God will rescue you. And you say, and everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with a sword and spear. Not with a sword and spear. Are you sure? David, are you sure you don't need some small sword?
some knife. So at least when you get close, you can throw the knife into his stomach or something. You're going with stones, small stones and a stick. Are you sure? It's like you're saying, Bishop, you're leaving Isla Penitence. Are you sure the church will spoil? Who told you the church will spoil? Churches don't spoil. No. Churches don't spoil like that. You see, the church is getting stronger and stronger by the day. Yeah. I don't have to be here on Sunday morning for the church to work. You ask yourself, are you sure, Bishop? I'm very sure. You'll be excited one day. You'll see that what we are doing across the river. You'll be very excited. You say, Bishop, he said it to me. Because the Lord rescues his people. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Hey, at least David should have, how I think Mike Tyson used to scare people like that. Tyson was an animal. If you better, I think there was one guy, I remember, he knocked him down in the first round. He got a lot of money. I said to myself, the guy is smart. Even this guy, O'Connor, the guy got $100 million. They have not even beaten you and you don't even have no money. The guy went out with $100 million. The fight was worth it. That's why he would come and look. He knew he was going to collect $100 million. He doesn't care. He'll just do it. When they hit him, he said, oh, don't worry. You hit him. $100 million is waiting for you. Hey, some things are not fair in this world, though. Neymar Jr. €222 million. Hey. For just hitting some small ball. Life is not nice. Oh. It's unfair. That is why your hope must be in God. Oh. Otherwise, the world will never recognize you for anything. Let's finish our story quickly. So, reaching into his... So, as Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with a sling and hit the Philistines in the forehead one time. The stone sank into his forehead. And Goliath stumbled and fell face. I wish I could do it without hitting myself. I'd have gone down like that. Damn. Face. One stone. Face. That Humpty Dumpty came tumbling down like that. Ta. And fell face downward. When you fall on your face, it's a sign of humiliation. A big guy like that fall on your face. You didn't fall on your back. A little boy with a stick coming to chase you like a dog. And instead of, at least you should do some. You know, when in these movies, when the bad guy, they are killing the bad guy, you shoot him and you say, psha! 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 Then they come up, psha! Psha! At least Goliath should, he should. He would say, hey. At least one. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath. David used it to kill him and cut off his head. Hey, David. Why wouldn't God love somebody like that? Kofi, why wouldn't God love somebody like that? When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they beat out. They turned and they ran. You better run. Then the men of Israel and Judah gave a great shout of triumph
and rush after the Philistines. Oh, oh.
All those who were hiding, when they saw Goliath fall. You see, faith is a nice thing. Faith brings victory. And victory is nice because when the people saw that the big man had fallen, now from nowhere, some energy came around. They started to do their part. In this life, ladies and gentlemen, your victories, there are victories planned for you, but you need to exercise your faith. You are an overcomer, but what overcomes the world is your faith. Because you have to understand that there's a God. You have to understand that your God is with you. You have to know that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Faith is what brings you victory.
Because of faith, you never lose a battle. I say, because of faith, you will never lose a fight.
Even Mayweather is 50-0. And he said that he couldn't do all these things without God. Did you see him make that statement? No, he made that statement. He was thanking God. 50 knockouts. 50 by 0. 50. His 50 fights, he has never lost. 50 fights, never lost. He has combined titles and belt. I mean, he's become a belt alive. Belt here, all kinds of belts. At 40 years old, Floyd Mayweather. Stinking rich. Filthy rich. Smelling rich. Yeah. And all these guys, they have positive traits. Because to go to the gym in the morning and you in the morning, you drink big tea and big cup. In the morning, you can't even get up. Somebody's in the gym and is a collects over 200-300 million by just punching. Who beat somebody and they don't put them in jail? Who beat somebody and the police doesn't come? He beat somebody and he gets money on top of it. It is not right. If I start beating you right now, you see, I'll get a bad name. Pastor BT church member. This guy is beating. He beat the guy until the referee came and said, hey, no. And then he collects money after that. Maybe you should start beating one another. Maybe money will come. But this is somebody who every morning, you see him bolt. He's in running. Running. It is some discipline and some hard work and some belief that makes them do things and they succeed and they are victorious. You should never cry again. I said, you should never cry again. Never should you feel sad in this world again.
You are victorious.
Let me tell you, the Bible says the devil is he's like a roaring lion. A lion, he comes around. You see, there are some dogs, they only bark, they don't do nothing.
That's how the devil is like. The rice eaters. The devil is like that.
He will bark. The devil will not allow you to just pass. Like Goliath will not allow David. He had to say something to David and say, You little boy? You think I'm a dog? He had to say something. But you now have to see beyond what you are seeing and know that as long as the Lord is on your right hand, as long as the Lord God is on your right hand, as long as God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the God of gods, the King of kings is on your right hand, you will never lose a battle. You will never lose a fight. You will never lose a match. Because He's our God. Stand to your feet and shout unto the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Fight. Don't use those words, I won't give up, I won't give up. I don't like it when some of you say, I ain't giving up. Don't. Those things shouldn't come. There's nothing. It shouldn't even come into your mind about giving up. What is giving up? You see, when you say, I ain't giving up, it means that you are suffering. You are already being punished. You're already on the low side. But you are trying to stay.
Don't say I trying. How are you doing? I trying. You let me not slap you, okay? Well, you trying what? When God Almighty is on your right hand, you trying? David didn't go and say I trying. He said, King, I'll take him down. He was confident. He had faith that guy who was standing, even if he was 10 times taller, that by the power and the grace of God, he'll bring him down. That will be your story also. I said, on a daily basis, that will be your story. You are a fighter. You are victorious because of your faith. Blessed be your name, O God. Thank you. Why don't you thank God tonight? Thank God for faith. Thank God for victory. Thank God that you are an overcomer. Lebro se tebere me kabra satata. Randere me kabros kebere ne me kerie me setiri ababa. Victory. Victory. Let's march on in victory. The Bible says he triumphed. He triumphed. You are triumphing. You are triumphant. You are victorious. Thank God for who he has made you. Thank God that he's on your side. Thank God that he's on your right hand. And that he will not allow your foot to be moved. He that keeps you will not slumber. Bless the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your voice, somebody, like a victor. Lift up your voice like a victor. Lift your voice like a victor. Like a victorious person. Nothing can stand before you. Nothing can stand before you that you cannot overcome. Nothing cannot come your way that you cannot rise above. Because God Almighty is your strength. He's a shield upon your right hand. He's your shield and your buckler. Oh, hallowed be thy name, O God. Lift up your hands. I command every storm. I command every storm. Every challenge that was trying to behave and act as if you cannot overcome it, I command that storm to cease now in the name of Jesus. May the mighty hand of God Almighty strengthen your right hand. Train your hands for war. May you conquer and conquer. May you overcome and overcome. Move from victory unto victory. Subdue, dominate in the name of Jesus. It shall never come to pass that you'll be defeated. It will never be a reality that you will not win. Every spirit and demon that causes you to lose, I stand in my authority as the shepherd of your soul. And I rebuke that losing spirit. I rebuke that fearful spirit. I rebuke that spirit that makes you try and not continue. You are victorious. May the spirit of victory be released upon everyone here tonight, oh God. Receive your victory. Receive your victory. By your faith, receive your victory. By your faith, receive your victory. By your faith, receive your victory. Over that problem, over that issue. In the name of Jesus. For our God is a rescuer. He rescues his people. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them all, from them all, from them all. You are being delivered from any affliction right now in the name of Jesus. Begin to walk like a child of God. Begin to walk like a child of God. Begin to walk in power and in authority. Begin to walk in dominion, knowing that God Almighty is on your right side. Hallowed be thy name, O God. Lebros cabras catabarama quebrerebeseteres. Rasa tatabarama cabrosite. Lebrosite bede macabra masatabarama. He has power. God has power. God is ever powerful. You are born of God. Whatsoever is born of God is also powerful. You are powerful. You are strong. You are strong. Every weakness, I command it to go because you are strong. Lebarasa taya bakabrende remesete brendes. Thank you for the victory, O God. We thank you for victory. We thank you for victory. Victory. Financial victory. Relationships, O God. Victory. 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 The Spirit of the Lord is here tonight, so we lift our holy hand in one accord, singing,
blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord,
blessed be the name.
Very softly, very gently.
And he is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift our holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Victory over every challenge, every battle, every fight. Receive victory now. Yes, in your right hand. Receive victory in your right hand right now. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Victory. In your right hand. Victory. Victory. Have faith and believe that you have the keys now. Have faith. Believe that in your right hand are the keys. It's in your right hand. Believe it. It's in your right hand. Believe it. It is in your right hand.
He is worthy to be praised and adored.
Thank you, Lord.
So we lift our holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name.
Father, I thank you for the victory. What was scaring your people, whatever was intimidating your people, I thank you that they have risen above it in the name of Jesus from tonight. Because faith has come by hearing, and hearing the word of God. May none of your children gathered here tonight fail or lose any battle. But may they conquer and move from victory unto victory over anything possible in this world. Because we have overcome the world. The challenges of this world are not our challenges because we are born of God. Thank you, Father, for establishing the truth that is already in your word. We have become strong because we've heard what you've already done and given to us. I give you praise tonight, and I give you glory in Jesus' name. Now, while your eyes are still closed, your head is still bowed, I want to just pray with you. You're not saved. You're not born again. If you die right now, you are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. The Bible says that if you are born of God, it's only those who are born of God that overcometh the world. If you are not born again, these benefits are not yours. Tonight, you want to say, Bishop, please pray for me. I want to be born again. I want to be born of God so that victory will be mine. When you are born of God, you become born again. Your life changes. You book a place in heaven as a child of God. When you die, you don't have to worry at all. Angels will carry you into Abraham's bosom. You want that opportunity as a child of God. Wherever you are, you lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Bishop, I want to be born of God. God bless you. God bless you. It takes that birth to become victorious. God bless you. God bless you. Bishop, please pray with me. I want to be born of God tonight. God bless you. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to take a bold step and come forward. I want to pray with you. Come. Come to me. Come. Come for them as they come. Come. Come to Jesus tonight. God bless you. God bless you. Come, come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. To you.
Oh, lead me.
Close your eyes with me tonight. If you are coming, come quickly before we pray. Wow. God bless you. God bless you. All right, close your eyes and pray this prayer with me. It's a very serious prayer, but the moment you pray it out of faith, your life changes. So say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart. To be my master and my savior. I believe that by this prayer, I am born of God and I overcome the world. I believe my life has changed forever. I am born again and my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I pray for these ones. Let them begin to experience from this moment the new life. Let hope and assurance be their portion. May they never look back, but continue to run this race.
as children of God, born of God, overcoming and be victorious in this life. Thank you that they are covered with the blood of Jesus. Every yoke of destruction, any attempt to move them from the road to the side and keep them away from running and walking on a path of righteousness, Lord, I judge that situation. I condemn it tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your mighty hand that is resting upon their lives. They are never the same again. I declare in Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.